Let's look in Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him. That word cried, I've come to understand, is not a whimper. It is a shriek. It is shrill. It was non-ending. She wouldn't stop. We would have called it obnoxious, okay? Cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet, M-E-E-T. It is not suitable. It is not appropriate. It is not right. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I have preached from this text before, not this same message. Obviously, there's not a lot of leeway on the truths you're wanting to draw from it. But if you mark your Bible, I don't want you to look at it and think, oh, he's given us leftovers. That I am not, okay? Studied and prayed and prepared as though I had not preached from this text. I don't say that to impress you. I say that for you to know how important it is for me to preach God's word to you. I want to preach on this lady, and I want to preach on her as a model for us all. If we're not careful, we come to church on a day like Mother's Day, and we think, okay, the message is only going to apply to those women who have had the opportunity to give birth. And the rest of us, if we're not careful, will kind of check out mentally, and that would be wrong to do. I am not preaching to those who have given birth. I am preaching to all of us in the auditorium that we can get a lesson from this woman who did give birth, and she gave birth to a child who desperately needed help. So let me quit preaching and go to meddling, and then I'll leave meddling and go back to preaching. Don't be too proud to say your child needs help. I am a recovering Christian education administrator, okay? It didn't affect me too greatly, okay? And I absolutely love it and miss it, okay? All of that was a corny joke. I love it. I love Christian education. I believe in it, okay? I salute our families that homeschool. And if you're able and can assemble the tools you need to do that, I want to back you and support you all I can. I also believe God has used the Christian school movement. I also believe the devil has fought the Christian school movement in unbelievable ways. But let me tell you something. We all act like, you know, well, this is the way it was when I was a kid, and everybody says that, okay? And kids who grew up in the 80s and 90s say, well, this is how it was when I was a kid. And I'm like, no, I was there when you were a kid, and that wasn't how it was. Somebody help me right there. So that tells me some of us that go back to the 60s and 70s and say, this is how it was when I was a kid. Some of us might exaggerate. That hill we walked up to school wasn't uphill both ways. Okay, there was an uphill and there was a downhill, okay? But that being said, we have got to, probably for a lot of reasons, some of which are good, we have gotten to a point in our society where nobody wants to believe anything bad about their youngins. Say amen right there. If you'll just say amen, I won't know the truth. I won't know if you mean it or not, and I'll just keep on preaching. Okay, if you get real quiet, I'm going to say I'm preaching to you, okay? None of them's got wings. None of them's got halos. And the worst thing you could ever say is, my kid would never. That would be foolish indeed, okay? You know, my kid would never lie to me. I asked him, and he said no. I need a witness, okay? I walked into one of ours a while ago in the restroom, and I heard some rattling, and I said, what were you doing? They said, I was coming in. I said, no, I kept hearing that door go, they was holding it down and watching it flap up. Do little boys do that to door handles? Yes, but do we stop them? Okay, so I'm not mad at a 10-year-old when he acts like a 10-year-old, but I don't want him to keep acting 10 because I have a cousin who's 50 who still acts 10. Say amen right there. You see what I'm saying? So I don't get upset at somebody acting their age, but if I keep letting them stay that way, they're going to be a 15-year-old acting 10. They're going to be a 20-year-old acting 10. They're going to be a 30-year-old acting 10. They're going to have a baby here they're paying child support on, and a baby here they're child support. See, because what they do that acts 10, okay, changes after puberty. And so they get stupider. I don't know if stupider is a word, but now it is. So really, really, our kids need help. How many of you parents have a sin nature? Thank you, Miss Galinda. Miss Galinda raised her hand. The rest of us going, oh, no, mine's been eradicated. No, it had not been eradicated. Guess what? We passed it on. We probably passed it on in greater magnitude, okay? It was multiplied. It's like 2 plus 2, okay? You get all of this increased synergy, and that's been going on with the sin nature ever since the Garden of Eden, okay? So here she was. She is asking for help for her child. There are some amazing lessons we can learn from this woman. Look in verse number 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed. Verse 22, woman came out of Canaan, my daughter. Elsewhere in the passage, she refers to her as her daughter. No reference whatsoever, not hinted, not insinuated, not implied. Brother Michael, there is no reference whatsoever anywhere about another man. So, real quick, before I get to the main point, here's a sub-point first, okay? You men, be there for your wives. Be the man. Be there for your wife, okay? Be there for your wife. So the broader message to all of us is sometimes you're going to have to go to God alone. Oh, it's awesome when something comes our way and Chris and I can lock arms and get on our knees together and stand on some promises of God. That is awesome, and we are there for each other, and I'm glad one's not alone when the other falls. But there's going to be, even in the strongest of marriages and families and homes, there are going to be times in your life where you're going to have to bear some things. There are things I don't bother her with. I know some men that would be wise not to burden. Your wife is a different emotional creature than you are. Some of you men that's an open book, you're loading her down with that. I told a preacher that one time. He didn't like it, and he still does it to this day, and it's creating problems. He loads his wife down with things God didn't equip her to handle. Okay, we're different. Contrary to what a nutty culture says about us today, we're different. The point for all of us on Mother's Day is you're going to have some spiritual battles you're going to have to walk through alone, but she didn't walk through it alone. She started out alone, but she made a beeline to Jesus. That is so simple, but if I said it every Sunday, it would be appropriate to say, because we all face something every day. We certainly face something every week, and most of us have the potential inside of us, the tendency to want to try to work it out. I'm thinking about a testimony a few months ago, Miss Galinda. It just came to my mind. She said, I was fretting and worrying about this, and all of a sudden I remembered I could give it to Jesus, and she said he took care of it real quick. You know what he did the last time? He took care of it real quick, and the time before. And when he doesn't, quote, take care of it or remove it or solve it, he does lock arms with me and go through it with me. Let's get it to the home. God forbid. Right now we're not in that case, but we have been in that case where we had several sitting in the auditorium who were serving Jesus alone. I'm here to tell you, if that is your description of your situation, Jesus is all you need. I've seen him prove himself to be faithful so very many times. What if you're in a marriage and that other spouse doesn't see the spiritual need in that child that God has made? Don't get on your high horse and act like you're Joan of Arc. And you know, if you're spiritual, you'd see it too. No, maybe God put it on you for a reason. Get along with God. Get alone with God. Church, we've got to do it. We've already had testimonies this morning, first service, another one. I reminded them in the 9:30 service, we're starting to see God do some of those only God things. Now, I don't know, it was, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 week spell there, the spring right around in there last year, where we just had some miraculous things that there wasn't any humans would have messed it up. And I'm just got to, after Wednesday night service, I just feel like I've got a sneaky suspicion he's getting ready to do it again. I'm not trying to be weird, mystical, or charismatic. I am telling you, according to John chapter 5, when the waters are troubled, you better get in. Some of those cities where Jesus passed by, that blind man, Jesus passed by on the way to Jericho, there's no other record that he went there again. I'm not a Calvinist. Y'all know that. Say amen. No, not one other record that he went to that well in Samaria. I'll bet that woman's glad he went. And what if she'd have been in a mood that day? Maybe help me right there. Men get in moods too. So if any of us men get on high horses, here we go. What if she'd just been in a mood that day and saying, I don't feel like talking to him? She'd have missed out, buddy. She'd have kept going from man to man to man looking for the answers and all the, but Jesus showed up. She had enough sense to listen and she got the help she needed. Amen. God is good. You're going to have to serve him alone sometimes. Look at verse number 25. Then came she and say it, saying, Lord, help me. Number one is alone. Number two is a door. God has not healed her child. She has no promise that he is getting ready to. It is not a Mary Martha story where they're on their way to the grave and they're thinking, what is he? What are we doing this for? They have no clue. She has no clue God's getting ready to do anything for her. And she falls at his feet and worships him. She ascribes worth to him. She tells him how amazing he is. God hadn't done one thing for her and hadn't promised that he's going to, but he worships. Make worship a priority in your life. Now, we'd rather worship him after the miracle. He is worthy of worship, Brother Raines, Seth, Miss Chris. He is worthy of worship if he never does another miracle. We sing it and we testify about it. We shout and we cry until we have to live it. If all I had he took away, I still would have to say God has been so good to me. Okay, and then we'll testify. If he never did another thing in my life, I'd still have to give him glory because he saved me, right? But if we go through a spell where we don't see him doing other things in our life, we lapse into a despair. Why? Because we carry a treasure in an earthen vessel. And what's inside of me knows that God is on the throne. What's inside of me knows that he does right and he's never done wrong. What's inside of me knows that. But it's got to filter through this carnal mind of mine, and that gets in the way and says, God's not doing you right. I need you to help me. Adore him, worship him for what he does. Yes, when he does it, but you can always worship him for who he is. The darkest valley that anybody in this room is going through, and we'll never compare storms because you'll never win on that one. If it's a burden to you, it's real. It doesn't have to be what you're going through, okay? You're burdened. She's burdened. They're different, but they're both real. You follow what I'm saying? But we worship him, Brother Gasaway, for who he is. Time out. You don't have to feel anything to worship. We're in a church culture, and I believe it to be biblical. I believe it to be 100% biblical. If I find out we're doing something that's not biblical, I'm going to stop it. We're in a church culture, and we love it around here, and we associate with those who do, that like to express it, enjoy it, feel God, for lack of a, that's what we do. And I believe in every bit of that, and I promote it. I believe it's right. I want my grandchildren. I want my nieces, my nephews. I want my church to experience it early and often. But you don't have to feel anything to worship God. So, oh, that's shouting on credit. No, you're praising him for who he is. Is God holy? Is God just? Is he merciful? I don't have to have goosebumps to tell him, you are good. And my feet are on solid ground. Thank you, Lord. More often than not, and I ain't talking about working anything up. I can't stand that. More often than not, when I go, thank you, Lord, for being so merciful. Thank you, Lord, for being so holy. Thank you, Lord, for being so faithful. More often than not, I do start feeling something. I ain't talking about working up, y'all. Everybody there? Because that's rampant these days. If you ain't got to work me up like I'm at a pep rally. I'm just telling you, when I start giving, here's the Bible for that. He inhabits praise. He inhabits praise. Praise is where he lives. And when I give him glory for who he is, he more often than not shows up. And if he just shows up and says, be still and know that I am God, we're going to be still. If he also says, break out the palm branches, we're going to wave them. Amen. So number one, alone. Number two, adore him. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. We live in such a strange culture. Woke. I've never seen more blind people in a woke culture. They take great offense at verses like that. Okay, I'm not going to dodge it. I'm not going to pretend it's not there. Jesus was not saying that you're a dog and you're worthless to me. He was not condemning you. He was simply stating in the culture that we live, Jews and Gentiles don't have anything to do with each other. And the Jews, read where Jesus interacted with Gentiles. Loving. There's nowhere else in the scripture where he even had this kind of interaction with a person. The biggest criticism they gave him was that he had fellowship and ate with publicans and sinners. So don't read that through a 2021 lens of idiocy. Read it in the culture that it was in. And he was just saying, lady, we're from two different worlds. And I am not come but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's Bible. You say, oh, he's favoring one above the other. You better read Romans and see how much he favored the Jews. He nailed their hides to the wall. Y'all follow me? Number three is simply this word right here. It's the word admission. Admission. And I don't mean admission into the concert hall. I mean admitting that you're nothing and he's everything. Admitting that there's nothing you can do for yourself, and if he doesn't do it, it is not going to get done. And I believe this with all my heart. I've been saying it a lot lately here and elsewhere because I believe it's something that we need. I know I need it. You're not going to get any help from God until you admit you need it. Most of us in this room have raised kids. Me do it. Me do it. Y'all with me? You ever heard that? Me do it. Can I help me do it? Let me help you down this sidewalk. Me do it. They come in, skint knee, bruised bottom, all because me did it. And spiritually, we look at God and we say, me do it. I can handle this. I got this. I can't handle it and you can't handle it. And let me tell you something, the older I get, Brother PJ, the less I see that I can handle, and the more I realize if he don't do it, it's not going to get done. I'll quote a verse, you fill in the last word for me. Without me, ye can do. Did he mean that, or did he just write it? Preacher Raines, in my bullheaded, pull myself up by my bootstraps, Raines nature, we come from a good stock of get her done. In my flesh, I wish you'd said, without me, you can do very little. That would have given me a little wiggle room there. I can get this done. No, I've had to fall on my knees before God, Brian, and say, I can't do it. It can be the most mundane, simple thing in life, or it can be huge and spiritual. And one extreme to the other, nothing means nothing. I'll give you the most vivid example I've ever experienced in my life. It might not resonate with you. Just apply it to your field of life. I went to grad school for education, not because I wanted a graduate degree, not because I wanted to impress anybody. When the church asked me to be the administrator of that Christian school, I wanted to be the best one God ever had. God's my witness. And I went back to school, had babies, went to school, stayed active in the church. and about killed myself. Did some of my classes in two-week blocks in the summer, an entire semester's worth of grad school in 2 weeks. That is utter insanity. I lived on Mountain Dew and Debbie cakes. I think I messed up my metabolism. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. We'd get out of class and run, physically run. That's not a figure of speech. Run to the library to start working on the project that was due the next morning at 7. Good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. It'll also kill you. So we started year number one. It went pretty good. Year number two, I was working on the schedule of classes. We had combined grades and several obstacles we had to overcome. I worked on a schedule to try to get the 7th through 12th graders all the classes they need, the high schoolers, their college prep credits. I worked hard on all that. Brother PJ, it would not work. And I sat there at that desk, and I said, I went to school for this. The church helped me go to school, and they told me I had the intelligence to do this. I can do it. I'm going to get this done. You ever been that way on the train? Am I preaching up your row? Thank you. Help me, Fred. David needs it. I said, I can do this. I worked on a schedule, and then I'd find out I left out 10th grade biology. Guess what? 10th graders need biology. And I'd get another one, and it looked like a work of art. And 11th grade math was missing. 11th graders need math. And I went, Lord, I can't do a schedule. And it embarrasses me to tell you that I can't do a schedule, because I sure spent a lot of good money learning how to be a school administrator. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. This is real, folks. I didn't read this in anybody's book. And I said, does that mean schedules? He said, nothing. Probably said knucklehead. You with me? This will help you. Learn it while you're young. Don't wait till you're my age. I shut the door to that office, got on my knees, said, Lord, I feel real stupid right now, but I don't know how to do a school schedule. He said, I'll help you. Some of my closest prayers to God have been the shortest. Now, I'm not advocating for a skimpy prayer life, but there's been times when I just got real honest with him, and he said, gotcha. Yeah, you fall out of a tree like Pops did one day, you won't be going, oh, God that created the heavens and the earth, oh, majestic Father. You better go, help, Lord. Somebody say amen. I'm glad Peter didn't pray some silly long prayer when he was going underwater. Y'all with me? I fell on my knees, asked him to help me. I got up. I am not exaggerating. I sat down at that desk, and in 10 minutes, I had the best schedule we ever had in the history of that school. None before it, none after it ever compared. And you say, why wasn't it the same? Because of multi-grade, it wasn't the same every year. Okay, somebody's probably wondering that. It was the smoothest schedule. It was the smoothest year we ever had. And I prayed the other years, God just had other things he was trying to teach me. The other schedules worked. Everybody got their classes in. But that one was smooth as silk. And it was one reason was God wanted to teach me a lesson. You can say it with me. Without me, ye can do. Mama, I don't care if you got 15. You don't write the book on raising kids. Because God has a sense of humor. And he's going to deliver one into that home that is going to rattle your world. You understand what I'm saying? You might figure something out. I imagine you're an awesome nurse. I imagine. That kind of is what I would expect out of you. I imagine you're awesome on that delivery truck. I think you're good. God will let you encounter something doing what you're doing where if God doesn't step in and help you, you're in a heap of trouble. Because as your child, this makes me want to shout, not cry. As your child, he is going to do what it takes for you to rely on him. And relying on him is a good place to be. Standing on the promises is a good place to be. I've broken some promises. I try not to because I want to be a man of my word. But standing on God's promises is a good place to be. and therefore he is worthy of our adoration. Therefore, there is no harm in me just admitting I need help. I've sat down with my kids and said, I do not have the answer to this situation, but we're going to one that does. Now, here's the heart of the message, and I'll be through. I hope all the rest of it helped you. I pray from the bottom of my heart that it did. Look in verse 28, and I hope God will let me get it out the way he put it in. Then Jesus answered unto her and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Isn't that a blessing? Now, look at that next line. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. That's the message. That's the message of this passage. Preacher Ains, what'd she get? Just what she came looking for. Y'all remember a few years ago, I told you I was under deep Holy Ghost conviction for praying soft, vague, mushy prayers. God dealt with me for that passage. The man came and asked for 3 loaves. I don't know if that helped you. It changed my life. He didn't ask for 2. He didn't ask for 4. He asked for 3. If you read the passage, it wouldn't surprise me if he got more than that. But he asked for 3. If you get more than that, you got 3. 3+. But this woman, I'm done. But I hope the Holy Ghost will burn this in our hearts and shape this church from now till Jesus comes. He said, "As thou wilt, that's what I'm going to do for you." Brother Billy Rochester and I had the most fascinating conversation about 3 or 4 weeks ago about not trusting God to do what he said he'd do. Progress Baptist, your preacher's wife has more active faith than your preacher. I'm just telling you that as a Christian, one Christian to another. I call it childlike faith, but I don't say it in a negative way. I say it in a positive. I'm a figure it out. Step 1. Step 2. Circle around here. Step 3. Then get to the answer and draw a circle around it like your teacher told you in math. She's like, why are you going through all those hoops? God said this. I'm just trying to help you. If I'm wrong, you pastored me for forever and ever. Amen. He said, as thou wilt. If she had come and said, would you help her behave better? Could we limit these experience? Could we limit these outbursts? Jesus, can you help me out a little? I am war. Could we at least have some good nights? As thou wilt. Am I in the book? I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm not talking about one day he heard of charismatic woman preacher. That's a mess. Somebody help me. God ain't in the charismatic movement. Any woman preachers? That's a mess. Let's do it God's way. She said, you get in God's face. I don't know what he's doing going to a church where it wasn't in church. It was on the radio. I don't know why he's listening to it on the radio. She said, you get in God's face and you tell him this. Buddy, that became a sermon illustration for the next 20 years. He said, you don't get in God's face and tell him anything. You fall at his feet. That's where this woman was. She's a model for all of us. And she got exactly what she asked for. I'm grappling with it. I'm not talking naming and claiming. I'm not talking about the foolishness of this world has kept independent Baptist churches from worshiping the way they should. Say amen. And the foolishness of this church world we live in has kept us from having the prayer life and believing God the way we ought to. And I may be the only one in the auditorium dealing with it, but something tells me I'm not. I don't know if it's what God's will is for each individual person, but I am telling you in this passage, he said she got exactly what she asked for. And some of us, this is bad English, but good truth. Some of us ain't asking for much. You want them kids to live for Jesus? lay them on the altar. Pour yourself into them. I don't know if they'll walk. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I'm not trying to impress you, good, bad, or indifferent. But I don't want to get to heaven and find out I've missed out on this, 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 and this because I didn't believe him. Let me read the text one more time. I may be done. It's so powerful. I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up by trying to say something about it. Look at 15:28. Jesus answered and said, okay, 20, I just skipped over a word. What was that first word? What happened before that? Worship. Everybody say worship. Then, time out. When you worship first, you saying, I love you for who you are. Now, I need something, but I'm loving you for who you are. Glory to God. Man, this book. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Amen. That's a statement of fact. But here's the clause, the conditional clause. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made. Say the next word. If God said, I'm going to do it as thou wilt, what would you ask him for?